of Super Stew's Days, because we've upgraded Stew's Days this year, and Stew. What actually? I didn't ask. What's your mom think of that? Does she like Super Stew's Days better than just Stew's Days?
I haven't actually gone through with her. I should ask her. I think she'd probably be a fan of Super Stew's Days, but you know, she's a pretty humble person too, so she might you know, think that we're taking a bit of a risk with more adjectives.
Oh, well, I can tell you my mom loves it. Yeah. It was her birthday yesterday. And she was just in the hospital for a bit.
Oh no.
And she's doing great, but she, you know, doing a little rehab, and so she was listening to the podcast regularly, and she loves Super Stew's Days. Oh yeah, huge fan. She said that. She goes, "Oh, it just makes me smile, that Stew."
They played it 24 hours a day, and she's like, "I got to get out of here."
No, so. Actually, I did suggest that. Yeah. They rejected it wholesale at the hospital, because they are concerned about people's health. Yeah. But for my mom, it was a good way to pass time, because she's very interested in being a successful investor, and so she's done well listening to you. Unfortunately, you know, she spent the first part of her life listening to me before I met you, and then that kind of got her off on the wrong track. But now we got her moving in the right directions too, about both health wise and financially. So that's good to. So thanks to you and all your great advice. And I'm sure, you know, as well as I travel and I run into different advisors and I run into different investors who listen to the podcast, they love listening to you and the and just all the wisdom that your many, many years of experience have and that we're able to share it regularly on this, you know, every Tuesday or almost every Tuesday, Stew's Day. So that's it's a good thing.
Well, thanks very much. That's very kind. But so I'll take it. But I'm touching, well, as my mom would say, I'm knocking on wood. I'm touching wood, which meant knocking on your head. So
oh yeah, no, I my wooden head and more importantly my wooden teeth, which are a much bigger problem. But we won't talk about that. So Stew, the, you know, we've been talking a lot, and we've been kind of laying the groundwork around, you know, just what's been happening in markets. So we've talked about a few pretty interesting concepts around things that, you know, the enthusiasm that can build within markets and go from, you know, enthusiasm to over enthusiasm to exuberance to just plain crazy. And then we've been talking about, and so what some of the focus around those discussions has been the space of artificial intelligence over the last several months. Then we've been talking about concentration in markets, so that where you have a small group of companies, and sometimes it's even a small group of companies isolated in a particular part of the market or particular industry or sector that are driving the bulk of the gains while the rest of the market lags. Then we talk about the relative performance of that concentrated market or that market that has more exposure to that area versus a broader set of markets that have different types of companies or a different mix of sectors and assets. And then we talk about just valuation in general, that you get a market or you get a particular area of the market that gets very expensive relative to the rest of the market. And then what you need to sustain that as time goes on. And then we get to yesterday, Stew, with all of these topics. And we have, just kind of out of the blue, a small company in China makes an announcement, or at least it's becomes better known across the general public, that they've got this new solution in artificial intelligence that, lo and behold, it works as well or better than anything that's been come up with in North America or Europe, with lots of expensive hardware and chips and massive data centers using tons of energy. And it's just kind of a revelation. And again, we don't have any very specific inside knowledge of exactly what it is, but the whole idea that artificial intelligence could, you know, maybe be cheaper to run in the future, maybe you know, more broadly accessible, different winners versus different losers kind of threw a wrench into the whole market narrative that's been building over the last couple of years. And we see stocks in that particular area, again, some winners, some losers, but some of the stocks that have been big winners become big losers almost overnight on what, you know, seemingly seems like to be a surprise or just a little bit of news. And what I like about what happened, I don't like what happened in terms of anyone losing money, obviously, but I do like the idea that it brings all of these concepts that we've been talking to together into a real world example of, okay, all this is happening and then boom, this happens. Okay, now we see how markets really work to, you know, to sort of iron out those excesses or look into different areas. Anyways, I'm talking way too much.
Yeah.
I'm sure the listeners want to hear your perspective on how this all comes together with all of the things again that we've been talking about for the last several months.
Well, it's interesting. Like I probably will start off with the wall of quotes, and I'll go to a kind of a Mark Twain quote, which is in effect it's not what we don't know that gets us into trouble. It's what we thought was to be so and wasn't, like what we thought was true and wasn't. And whether or not some of these discussions have been building in the last couple of weeks, they certainly had a moment on the weekend where people questioned some of the underlying assumptions around artificial intelligence. And those two biggest ones were how much it cost outright to train a model and how much capital had to go into that. And then the second was, how much to, kind of run artificial intelligence on an ongoing basis. Simply put, I'll leave it to you to read the exact white paper that they put out with the physics and everything, because I know that's your bailiwick. But
absolutely.
But so that was a inside portfolios, we can spend a lot of time on the things that we don't know, right? Like we can prepare for all those types of things. And then, we think we get, certainty around some things, and we have to be careful when the list of things we know for sure is getting long, because one, it may not be true. And two, the more we think something's true, the greater the likelihood we're going to put a higher valuation on it because it looks so visible. And valuation is a way of saying how protected am I against, some of these ebbs and flows that will come in the market. And, sure as yesterday, we had some significant doubts, kind of put into the stock market around, the cost and the amount of capital that might be required for some of these models. Who knows? In a couple of months, that could change back and we could be onto something new. And when we think back in the last, 6 to 12 months, like there'd been some discussion around quantum computing, and you're kind of sitting there going like, will that really change things? Like there were some things that you thought of that you didn't know how to, kind of handicap from a betting standpoint, to put it in that analogy. But, certainly this froth that came to the surface on the weekend, made people change their mind. And it resulted in a decline in, more hardware-oriented stocks. But conversely, it wasn't just a decline in the market. It actually had a couple of ripple-on effects as well, right? Yeah. Like, the second thing that we love to, kind of think about is when I drop a pebble in the water and I just watch the ripples go off. So, the first was if artificial intelligence was cheaper. So you see, some of the software businesses that might have agents that might help you, kind of work with, some of this data in a cheaper manner, their stocks actually took off to the upside.
Yeah.
The confusion around all of this, if you're a tech consulting company, it looks pretty good for you because a lot of executives say, hey, call the consultants. We need to get some more advice than we maybe thought. Then from a negative standpoint, there'd been so much enthusiasm around redoing North American electrical grids and all sorts of things. And, that could still very well continue for decarbonization and some other things. But again, it threw into doubt in the short term. You kind of had one buyer community that had heavily dominated the share prices of those companies. And, you know, on the day of an announcement, there wasn't a new buyer committee community relative ready to kind of step in right at the same price. So you get these, you know, large movements. And as analysts, you know, we do our best to try and envision a whole range of scenarios in advance. So, you know, sometimes you're, you know, you're at the ready and you get a big price change and you can kind of say, well, you know, we've taken out these opportunities from the share price, so it could be interesting. There's other times where you see a decline and you say, well, I don't know if that's enough. I just don't know. And then, you know, conversely, some stocks took off yesterday. Maybe there's positives like, you know, cheaper AI, but there was also some note of also just, you know, capital being redistributed in the market. So, you know, there were some consumer staple stocks that were up, you know, 3 or 4%. And, you know, I highly doubt that those businesses are automatically worth, you know, 3 or 4% more. But, you know, on any given day, when you get share price movement in big companies, you know, portion of that money might leave the market, but another portion of it needs to be redistributed through the you know, through the market. It's almost like if you had a balloon filled with water and you squeeze the middle, the two ends pop out. So, you know, there were some stocks that on the surface would have nothing to do with this, and they were moving around quite rapidly as well yesterday. So it was you know, it was a big event. You know, and as the dust settles, I'm sure you'll have, you know, I'm sure I'll have more to say on the matter. And I'm sure you'll have a variety of other portfolio managers on from, you know, the growth teams and the value teams to kind of think, you know, how do we think through this? You know, one, you know, I think the last point I would say, I think, you know, on valuation front is, you know, once you kind of see something, it's hard to unsee it, right? So, you know, if you had this kind of, you know, comfort with a certain valuation range because of the dominance of a certain thesis, and that gets put to doubt, even if those doubts then are extinguished, you may not fully go back to exactly the same thesis you had before, because you're kind of like, well, you know, I hadn't considered DeepSeek. So, you know, maybe I got to put a list of things that I haven't considered in my risk factors.
Yeah. Like, I mean, in that way, you know, I don't think it changes in any way the importance of artificial intelligence and what artificial intelligence is going to mean to the human race. It's going to extinguish investment or enthusiasm around AI and what it can do for us. But it does change again the mindset in terms of, like you say, how much it's going to cost, from an investment perspective, where the winners and losers are going to be near term, and so when you have that adjustment, but I think what I wanted to highlight more than anything was you have that adjustment in an area where valuations have been stretched. Right. So that that balloon is really full in that one area. There's a lot of water over in that one area. So you squeeze it and the movement is quite sharp. And that's really what we saw yesterday. I think on the other front, and what would be a sign, I think, of optimism, and we've talked about this as well, is like you say in your balloon analogy. The money did, the water did spill elsewhere. So it wasn't a complete abandonment of the value of stocks and people's excitement around the stock market, because we're in an environment where rates are generally going down, where profits are, you know, likely going to rise because we've got growth and low risk of recession. The money found itself into other areas, which is actually quite healthy. To see things spread around when it's been so concentrated for quite some time.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you know, on days like yesterday, you know, you own some stocks in your portfolio where you sit and say, boy, I wish I thought about that. And then you own some other stocks in your portfolio, you're like, well, that's great. I didn't know that would be, you know, that helpful. So it does kind of remind you about having a portfolio, right? Like you're trying to expose yourself to a variety of outcomes. And when we think about financial plans, we think about compounding over long periods of time. And that means, you know, that means a variety of things in a portfolio. It means sometimes there'll be stocks in there that go down. It means there'll be lots of stocks that go up. It's the totality of trying to expose your portfolio to kind of positive options as they envelop over time. You know, so that's one thing that we think about yesterday. I think, you know, there are, you know, there's kind of, you know, there's always a chorus of kind of valuation oriented people that come out on days like yesterday and, you know, tout their wares, but, you know, they've probably been touting those wares for some time. You know, it's not like they were bullish on Thursday and became, you know, bearish on Friday. So we have to recognize that there's a, you know, a pretty wide ranging, you know, set of outcomes for any individual specific company. But if we collect a portfolio of businesses and we say I'm okay with this valuation relative to the scenarios I can envision, and I'm collecting positive options across each of the stocks in my portfolio, then the odds of that, you know, turning out over time is pretty good. And also make sure that I'm not exposed to, you know, the world playing out in just one specific way. Yes. Because you know, in the last 2 months, we've, you know, whether or not it's tweets or, you know, whatever, you know, we just know that the range of outcomes appears to be a little bit wider. So, you know, those are the things. You know, yesterday is very much kind of like a business as usual type of day, even though on the surface it would appear maybe to not be.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing that we're doing here with the we're attempting to do with the podcast is to educate. We want people to be successful investing, and you know, I think all of us can be guilty at different points in time, and some of this is just social. You know, I'm out with some friends, and they go, "Oh, geez, you should see this stock that I bought. I just piled all my money into it, and look at it go." Or I'm in this thing, and oh boy, it's too bad you're not in it. And you kind of walk away and go, "Geez, I wish I've got this portfolio of, like you say, of great businesses, right? Or I've got, you know, somebody like you managing my portfolio of great businesses, and I'm kind of, geez, I wish I had 100% of my money over in that thing instead of, you know, spread around and properly diversified with the right amount of risk and with a financial plan around it where I know what I need to get to where I need to go. And oh, this portfolio is going to do that. And maybe even a little bit more because, you know, Stu's a pretty sharp guy and his team's pretty good. And they do a great job managing money, but boy, I wish I had 100% of my money over there. And then a day like yesterday is a reminder that there's a reason why you don't have 100% of your money over there. There's a reason why you have a little bit of it. Sure. You want to make sure, like you say, you've got emerging industries, you've got the potential for growth. But you also want to have some of this other stuff, which at some point, that might be the one where you wished you had 100% of. And that's not right now. It's the other thing. But then it's going to be that. And then you go and you say, hey, well, I got some of that, too. And yeah. And that's the idea of having a portfolio. And I think yesterday was just I'm not articulating this the best way. And this is why you're here to fix what I'm just doing, because you always do. But I just think yesterday was just one of those like, oh, geez, that's right. That's why I do it this way versus that way. And I'm going to feel a lot better if I do it the way I'm doing it over time.
And maybe I'll finish off with another quote from the wall. It was Tom Gaynor from Markel, a great investor, who said, there's old portfolio managers and there's bold portfolio managers, but there's not a lot of old, bold portfolio managers. And you know, that's the notion of you know, exposing ourselves to a whole bunch of positive options.
Yeah, it's like I love HP sauce. It's my favorite thing. I have it. I do a lot of little videos inside of you know, for advisors.
My brother-in-law calls that Huggies Pride.
Huggies Pride.
HP sauce.
Really?
Yep.
I
don't know exactly what it's from, but he calls it Huggies Pride.
Oh, I just know the Queen.
Yeah,
it was the Queen sauce.
Was it?
And yeah. Yeah. So I'm doing videos. I'm putting it on sausage rolls and other things. I basically find food to put HP on, but then they came out with HP Bold, right?
Yeah.
did, and so wow, it's like I like HP. Why don't I have HP Bold? And I found out it was not that good, and nobody bought it. And so there's your Bold and Old. I'm just sticking with the old stuff.
All right, sounds good, Dave.
Excellent. Well, a couple of good lessons learned. You can get too much of a good thing, so spread it around, and be the market will day to day, month to month, year to year. A, humble you, and B, teach you lessons that, again, if you bank them, will help you be a better investor. And I just wanted to, I'm glad we got you on today on a Super Tuesday to talk about what happened yesterday, because it's so illustrative of some of the things that you want to make sure you learn and you bank in your mind, even in my wooden head, to make you a better investor over the long term, which was what it's all about.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Stu. And everyone who listens to the podcast, if you like the podcast, give us a like. If you want to hear more, because Stu's on every week and we've got lots of great investment experts, hit subscribe or follow where you get your podcasts. I guess subscribe on YouTube. The marketing folks don't give me the details. They just asked me to do this. But we love having more listeners. We know lots more of you are listening. Please share it with a friend. Get a friend to subscribe and like. We want to have everyone listening to the podcast that we can. And hopefully you'll join us on our next episode of Super Tuesdays next week.
This recording has been provided by RBC Global Asset Management, Inc. for informational purposes only and is not intended to be investment or financial advice. You should consult your own legal, accounting, tax, investment, or financial planning advisors before engaging in any transactions.